Good goddamn grief. I just don't know anymore, you know what I'm saying? But what I do know is that you are tuned in to Gem Hunt. This is our family podcast about horror films.
Woo!
Yep.
Specifically, our perpetual quest to dig up films that we think are hidden gems. Let us introduce ourselves, shall we?
I'm Beth, and I think Ouija boards have real powers.
I'm Buggy, and amnesia is my best friend.
My name is Cody, and I am dying.
You're not dying.
But I'm going to live.
That's right. Yes,
exactly.
That was the Royal Tenenbaums reference, by the way.
That's like my favorite movie.
In all seriousness, we probably should not have made so many jokes about our colonoscopies last month because I, unfortunately, have butthole cancer. And that is not a joke. I'm being totally serious now. Butthole cancer. It's a medical terminology. It's in the textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I haven't heard to it referred to that way. I just used the word two multiple times. Albert's heard of it. Here he is. Tell us he's heard of it.
He wanted to tell everybody.
Yeah,
about
our dog's
it.
Heard of it. He doesn't care for it. I'm telling you all of this not because I want to turn this into one of those woe is me sob story cancer podcasts, because we're going to remain focused on our task at hand. You were going to make a joke, but you didn't do it this time.
Oh, our task at butt.
Oh, right. But it seemed relevant to let the 11 people that listen to this podcast know what's going on in Dirt Dog World, rather than just saying nothing and when the shit goes haywire, posting cryptic messages to our Instagram or whatever. Yeah, so that's what up. You got any thoughts about it?
I don't like it.
Why not?
It seems uncomfortable and labor intensive.
Oh, well, yeah.
Also, I love you a lot.
Well, it's intense.
I love you too.
What do you think?
It's intense, but everything's going to be okay. And that's really what matters.
Yeah, we're going to make it through this.
Intentional.
Ew, it's intentional. Wait, this can I use this for my, you can cut this. Did you hear about the fire in the circus?
No.
It was intense. Did you hear about the fire in the homeless encampment?
No.
Nobody else did either.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a joke.
It was.
Speaking of intense, I got some Cronenberg-ass treatment shit coming up. And I was saying the other day that I love David Cronenberg movies, but I never wanted to be in one.
That's true.
But now here we are. Anyway, we'll keep you posted. I think it's all going to be fine. I'm just going to be on weed.
There'll be a lot of weird weed episodes and maybe some tired episodes. And maybe like, you know, Buggy and I already write our own descriptions for our episodes, but that's about all we do.
Hmm.
You know, he does all the other work. So maybe we'll do some more work and things will be a little less sensible.
Yeah, things might get a little messed up for a couple of weeks.
You don't got to do nothing. I'm going to take weird mushrooms. And I do like talking about weird and gross things, so now I have an excuse to do that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what's else going on? We're balls deep in November already. I can't believe that this month has disappeared so quickly. This episode's going to come out the day after Thanksgiving, so I hope you all gained 300 pounds or something like that. And as the dreary depths of winter overtake us, I hope you all can latch on to some kind of positivity to get you through the holidays. I'm not looking forward to it this year. But here's something positive. October top five lists.
Okay.
We put together some top fives. We could have done top tens. We went with top fives and we didn't do our whole 31 movies this year. So we're gonna list them off. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, mine are in no particular order, and they're not, it's going to be a weird one because I don't think they're the best movies we watched, but they're the ones that I'm thinking about the most and the ones I enjoyed the most. Okay, yeah, so I picked the five movies that have stuck with me the most, and they are, in no particular order, Mind, Body, Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Yoga, Influencer, Found Footage Thing, Oddity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Gollum kind of thing. The Coffee Table. don't even want to say anything about it, Infested, which is the first movie we watched, and Hotel.
Hotel. Interesting. I didn't see that one coming.
Slow burner. Not much happened, but I liked it. Okay. That's my five.
Okay. I like those picks. I think we're going to have some overlap.
Ooh.
I actually tried to put mine in order. I don't know if I really believe this order, but I just tried my best. So I'm going to start. I'm not going to start with five. I'm going to start with number one.
Okay.
And we'll go down from there. My number one, The Coffee Table.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yes. Actually, maybe me too. Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
You got to watch it.
It's fucked up. My number two, Oddity.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. My number three, Redeemer, the Son of Satan.
That was good. That one was good. It almost made it.
My number four, Infested.
Okay.
Which I thought was great. It was such a fun opening movie for October. And number five, Slugs.
Oh, I liked Slugs.
I got two creature features on my top five. Nice. Although, here's the thing. I could have made a top 10 because I have some honorable mentions that I want to throw on there.
Okay.
The Substance.
Yep, that was my six.
Which... it wasn't officially part of our calendar, which is why I kind of didn't put it on
the
list.
That's why I cut it too, yeah.
But it probably should have been on the list. The Creature from Black Lake, the funny Sasquatch movie. I liked that quite a bit. Wendigo, I thought, was an interesting watch. And I thought Corpse Mania was a hell of a time. So those are my honorable mentions from October. I know you did your own weird thing.
I did.
What do you got from your weird thing?
Okay, this is also in no particular order, but I rewatched a lot of franchises. I rewatched most of the Wreck movies, and my favorite out of all of them was the third one. But that's just because of my personal preferences. There's more romance in
it. I was going to say, is there someone hot in the third one?
There's no one hot, but there's a lot of romance. And also, it is like just a really good zombie movie. Objectively, and if you like go through the whole series, the third movie is very satisfying. Anyway, I watched the original Thing, the thing.
Wait, like the 50s one?
Yeah,
the black and white one.
Yeah, I watched that again because
I
really like
DVD,
that movie.
I think.
Yeah,
I think
better than I expect.
I really like that movie, and Tubi's free. Shout out Tubi. I always watch a lot of old movies on there all the time.
Weird commercials too.
And that was like my fave. I rewatched Night of the Creeps. Oh, and I really like that movie. It scared the shit out of me when I was like 10 or something.
It's one of your gateway horror movies.
It was really scary. It like really messed me up. And then I also watched Dead Alive again, which is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, hell yeah. I haven't seen that for so long.
It's really good. I always rewatch it like at least once a year just because I really like it and it makes me happy. And I've been watching a lot of, like, YouTube channel horror stuff, like, analog stuff, and also just, like, gamer horror.
Huh.
My favorite, like, YouTube, shout out him, the YouTuber I watch all the time, his name's Manly Badass Hero. That's what his name is. Shout out, of course he is. I always tune in to watch him play horror games all the time. He's fun.
Okay. Well, that's our wrap-up of October. October's over. And now we just move on to other months, I guess. Yeah, yes. Fart sounds. So we're going to do something new this week. I always like to do a new thing. This is another first for Gem Hunt. Tonight, we're going to review a made-for-TV horror movie.
Love.
But before we get into what it is, I want to talk about made-for-TV horror movies in general. And just what are some of the made-for-TV horror movies that you know and maybe like? Does anybody got anything off the top of their head they want to shout out or
Ghost
throw out?
Ghostwatch.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say really no like list is classic. Complete without Ghostwatch,
that's
for sure.
That's the only one I feel like I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. No, that's when Late Night with the Devil came out, I was just like, yeah, this is like a film version of Ghostwatch, kind of, which I think is a brilliant concept. I can't believe somebody didn't do it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it was fun, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know if I know any other made-for-TV horror movies, but I was telling Cody before this, like, there was a made-for-TV movie where a kid gets hit by a train that I accidentally saw when I was like,
it sucks.
like five or something. Like, my mom was watching it. And it turned out to be The Doll Maker with Jane Fonda from 1984. Not a horror movie at all. Some kind of like poor people struggle, new life, California kind of movie. But yeah, no, I know. But I just like saw 5 minutes of it. And it was a kid running for a train and getting hit by it.
Nice.
And so that did something to my brain.
That'll do it.
Not a horror movie.
I like kids getting hit by trains.
I know you do. So I put that in there for you.
Well, here's a few to ponder. Salem's Lot.
Oh, okay. Yes,
it was a mini-series. Yes. But I think it counts because, you know, eventually they condensed it down into a movie. Hell of a good one.
Yeah.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Ever heard of that one? There's these little goblin guys that creep around and like crawl out of holes or whatever.
That one also scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm. Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, often touted as one of the best made-for-TV movies of all time.
Okay, I've seen that too. I just don't know what's made-for-TV. Like, now everything is on a thing where I don't know where it came from. I don't know, like, the origin of it.
The Night Stalker, does that count?
Oh,
is that, like, the mystery one?
You mean, like Darren McGavin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a TV show. There was a movie. There were two movies. Yes.
Wasn't it kind of like Twin Peaks where it started with like a movie-length thing?
I think there were two movies. They were like features, like how Columbo was features. And then, oh my God, The Night Stalker. Have you watched The Night Stalker?
I don't know. I thought it was like some detective guy and there's like supernatural stuff.
It's like kind of maybe the X-Files loved The Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should watch it. It's great. The first one's in Seattle, too, which is kind of cool.
And it's like the vampire stuff is the movie. I think I've seen part of it, but I think, honestly, I watched it when I was like 8 and I was probably either scared and didn't finish it.
How did I forget about The Night? Yeah, that's one of my favorite things of all time.
Hell yeah. And then the last thing I want to mention, which is maybe the most upsetting and most disturbing thing that has ever been shown on TV. A little film from 1984 called Threads, a tale of a nuclear holocaust after an explosion over the city of Sheffield, England.
Did you say nuclear? I think you did.
Nuclear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the right way to say it.
No.
The American way to say it. Library.
Get out of my library.
Library.
Get out of my library. Thank
nuclear. Coupon.
The dentist.
I got my coupons for the nuclear library in my...
Anyway, if you're a horror fan and you haven't seen Threads, you owe it to yourself to ruin your own life by watching Threads. Mm-hmm. And also, it's great in these times of everything possibly exploding to know what it's going to be like when you explode.
It's on Shudder.
It's going to suck, but I definitely recommend watching this. But fuck all those. On this episode, we're reviewing the 1985 film Deadly Messages. And we'll see if it belongs on the list of great made-for-TV horror movies. And we'll see it where it ranks on the list of movies that start with the word deadly. And just kidding, I'm not going to go through every movie that starts with the word deadly. Because if you type in deadly in your favorite movie search database, there's going to be thousands of them. So I'm just going to rattle off a few that came up right when I typed that in. Deadly Illusions. Deadly Blessings. Good movie.
Seen that.
Deadly Games. That's the Dial Code Santa Claus movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that. The dog dies terribly.
Deadly Friend. Deadly Passion.
No.
Deadly Yoga Retreat.
I'm curious.
Deadly Justice. Deadly Women, which, let's be honest, that's all of them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Deadly Eyes. Here's my favorite on the list. Deadly Dilf.
Ah!
No way.
Yeah,
that's a
real
porn.
Movie.
That's a porn.
Deadly no Dad I'd Like to Fuck. I'm going to watch that probably tomorrow.
Me too.
Here's a few I just thought were funny that as I was scrolling through. Deadly Garage Sale.
Oh.
Deadly Secrets of a Cam Girl, Deadly Mom Retreat, and Deadly Bipolarity. I like that one just because how specific it is.
Whoa, that is deadly.
Yeah.
But you could go on and on forever. Here's a little idea. If you're trying to come up with a movie podcast, just start a movie podcast called Deadly where you only review movies that start
idea.
With the word deadly. And you would run out of content.
Yeah.
You could make thousands of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Let's move on to our deadly movie tonight, Deadly Messages. This made its television debut on February 21st, 1985. It was directed by Jack Bender, who also directed Child's Play 3.
Okay, okay.
He did a lot of TV work also, including some episodes of The Sopranos, Lost, and Game of Thrones. And he's also the main director of a newish horror series called From, which I've been wanting to check out. And maybe this is the impetus for us to finally give that show a watch, because I've heard good things about it. Written by William Blake, starring Kathleen Beller as Laura Daniels. Kathleen Beller was TV royalty in the 1980s, I guess. She was in all sorts of shit. She was like real famous.
Like
on...
a soap opera actress? Well, she's purdy. She looks like Kevalina.
She's purdy.
I think she was just like made for TV movie star, kind of. Michael Brandon as Michael. Let's go, Michael Brandon.
No way.
They won. Let it go.
Dennis Franz as Detective Max Lucas. Do you think Dennis Franz kind of looks like Ron Jeremy?
Yes. Like, if you squished him. A little bit. A little bit squished.
Yeah, fair enough.
He had a different life.
And we got Sherry Stoner as Cindy. I like Sherry Stoner's name. That's why I added her.
Is that what Cindy is, the roommate?
Cindy's the beginning girl. She's the beginning girl. I don't know what you call her.
With the hair.
Yeah, with the hair.
Where can you watch this sumbitch? It's only on YouTube at the moment, unless you happen to record it off your TV on VHS in the 80s, which is a thing people used to do.
Oh, yeah.
Most of my movies that I watched growing up were taped off of TV on the VHS.
Yeah, we had the first VCR on the block. Oh, first VCR on the block in our house.
Tell them.
That's all.
Yeah, okay. What's this goddamn thing about? The film opens with a title screen that feels very much like a soap opera, probably because it's a made-for-TV movie. We see two hands donning a pair of black gloves, intercut with a still shot of the main character's face, although we don't really know it's the main character at this point.
No.
We could assume, I guess. Then a nefarious knife slides into the frame, and my first thought was, is this a giallo? Seems like it could be. It really isn't, though. But that was my first thought. We're introduced to three characters, Laura, Michael, and Cindy. She's the beginning girl.
Oh, Cindy, yeah.
Yeah.
You like Cindy?
You really don't remember her.
I don't know people's names.
Yeah. So they're hanging out at their apartment as Laura and Michael are getting ready for this fancy event, I guess. And they don't really explain what the fuck Cindy's deal is at this point. She's just kind of there. At first, I thought maybe she was a babysitter, but then I was like, they don't have kids, so what is her deal?
We're living together for a year.
Yeah.
I know, and I thought she was a roommate, but it turned out, nope.
Yeah.
And you have a dog.
Just the hair and outfit lady.
So Laura's trying to get something off the upper shelf, the closet, that she needs for her outfit, and Cindy is holding her stool for her, if you know what I mean. And suddenly, a Ouija board falls out of the closet and lands directly in Cindy's hands. At this point, Cindy immediately begins explaining the immense power of Ouija boards.
Amazing. It fell right into my arms like it was guided there. I know how to use one of these. To contact spirits, where'd you get it? I don't know. Maybe you'll have better luck with it than I did. It never worked for me. Michael, I found your cufflinks. You probably weren't using it right. And what is the right way? Michael, I found them.
Ready to roll.
This board has enormous power. I can feel it. To contact those who have passed beyond the veil requires great spiritual focus, so that the spirits of the departed can guide your fingers and move the pointer over the letters to spell out their messages. I know how to use one of these.
I'll bet she does.
So Laura and Michael go on their date, or whatever, and Cindy begins communicating with a spirit named David using the Ouija board. David tells her that he was murdered in this very apartment. And then an intruder suddenly breaks into the house wearing black gloves, because of course he is. Laura returns home and realizes she doesn't have her keys and can't reach Cindy on the buzzer because she's currently being attacked by the black glove wearing intruder.
It's true.
So Laura decides to make the logical choice to scale a fence climb up to the second floor.
She's agile.
Shuffle her ass along a very narrow ledge to knock on the apartment window, because who wouldn't do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At this point, she sees the intruder strangling Cindy, promptly falls off the ledge, attempts to flag down help, and then finds an emergency phone and calls the authorities. The fire department, police, and Detective Max Lucas show up and immediately assume she's a crazy broad because there's no corpse, so obviously no murder.
So what do we got? A false alarm.
This is not a false alarm. There was a murder. He had time to get away before you answered the alarm. Maybe he took her body with him.
Maybe he took it to the morgue to get a deposit, huh? Look, lady, you think we got nothing better to do than to run around this city chasing down crank calls? Write her up.
What?
Next time you lose your keys, call a locksmith, okay?
This becomes a key thematic element of this film going forward, as Laura becomes the target of the black glove-wearing killer. As viewers, we have to ask ourselves, is Laura really being stalked by this killer? Is the killer real? Or a spirit unleashed by the Ouija board? Is Laura just crazy? And these questions get even harder to answer as Laura begins trying to communicate with spirits using the Ouija board and even receives a message stating in no uncertain terms, I am going to kill you. So from here on out, we get a lot of classic 80s misogyny as Laura's boyfriend Michael attempts to assist Laura in figuring shit out, all while dismissing her somewhat out there assumptions and even engaging in clear HIPAA violations with his doctor friend who shares the results of her CT scan with Michael without her permission and without her even being present. So the doctors don't believe her, the police don't believe her, and even Michael begins to not believe her.
We'll talk to Roger. We'll get you a specialist to help
you. We're not going to go to a doctor.
The police are not going to believe you.
I'm not taking a chance. What about you? Are you going to come with me? Or are you too concerned about your legal reputation to get involved with a crazy woman?
See, I didn't get it all the first time.
I explained it already.
Now, what does all this have to do with ghosts?
Come on, Lieutenant. Give me a break here, huh?
I just wanted...
Would you, call my office and sit down, please? Thanks.
Look, I mean, this broad don't exactly have both oars in the water, if you know what I'm saying, okay?
So for the rest of the film, we're presented with an interesting mashup of genres, including murder mystery, thriller, crazy woman, and mistaken identity. Maybe mistaken, maybe purposeful. I don't know. Let's go with mistaken identity. All with the underlying possibility that the Ouija board actually has supernatural powers that are potentially linked to the killer who is stalking Laura. We're also introduced to the possibility that Laura isn't who she says she is, and also may have undergone electroshock therapy in the past, which is the information that the doctor divulges to Michael in violation of HIPAA, which I'm not sure if HIPAA was a thing in 1985.
I know, actually, we forgot to do the research. I think it was.
I actually don't think it was. We can get back to that, but... doesn't matter now. We're doing a recap.
Sorry.
Also, it's possible that everything happening may be explained by a series of young adult female detective novels. This movie gets twisty and turny in the final third, so I don't want to give too much away, even if the movie does telegraph a lot of what you expect is going to happen, but part of the fun is getting there. I should also mention that the killer is very much a Terminator knockoff.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Just imagine a weaker-looking Arnold Schwarzenegger with his shades on and his long black coat fast-walking through public places like the mall. And apparently this movie was actually influenced by the Terminator, which came out a year before, but only in as much as the appearance of the killer.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Laura's job is a video dating consultant.
Yes. Yes, yes, it is. But in-person video dating consultant.
Yeah, in-person video dating consultant.
Yeah, go to the office.
Which dates this movie incredibly. And her boss is a real dick who's always busting her balls. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. But I just wanted to state that. Oh, also, this is a Christmas horror film.
That's true.
They don't make a big deal of it, but it does take place during Christmas time. And I know people are always trying to fill out their Christmas horror playlists, so... consider this if you're one of them Christmas whore people.
What's Christmas?
They go Christmas shopping. They don't. It's one of those brief things that happens. There's a lot of weird brief moments.
No, I was just joking about what Christmas is.
Oh, you just were joking that you didn't know?
What Christmas?
I don't know what Christmas is either.
What Christmas?
It's some guy named Chris and...
he wants more.
He's massive.
Massive
Chris.
He wants a mass. Well.
Yeah, well. Okay, let's talk about some stuff. Here's a question for y'all. Do you think the made-for-TV quality of this film takes away from the film or adds to it?
I like it, but that's just how I am. It's, like, really cheesy, and I kind of enjoy that. I think, like, in terms of seriousness, yes. Like, if it's trying to be, like, suspenseful.
Oh, if you wanted to be serious, but you don't. You're enjoying it, right?
Well, I was enjoying it, but, like, I mean, like, I could see some, like, I don't know, someone watching it at night and being like, oh, and like, because like I was intrigued the whole time, but I don't think it's like, I think the way it's presented is a little like less, you know, intense than maybe like if it were like a blockbuster, like theater film, like it would be different.
Which I enjoyed that.
Me too.
I was like, yes,
I liked it better.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there were like boobs and cursing and like a lot more blood. Would this be more well known or lauded in
the horror
genre?
I forgot about boobs being something that's missing from made for TV.
That's true.
If there were more boobs, it would have been more better.
There wasn't even any blood in this, really.
No, there was not any blood at all. There were like, yeah, it's like gloves on a neck or something.
Yeah. I'm not saying there wasn't. You know, suspense and thrilling sequences. But yeah, there was really no gore, no F-bombs, no DITA bombs, no...
just
no
massages.
Full frontal, no like dong hang,
no...
what else?
I don't know. I mean, there's no... Yeah, there's no peen.
No peen.
There's no... Yeah. Badge.
And that's just kind of what you have to expect when you're watching a made-for-TV movie, which is always one of the things that makes me apprehensive about watching them, is that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get all that stuff that I want from a horror movie, like dicks and boobs and blood and the word fuck. That's all I really need in life.
Oh, just the word fuck. Well, this, or all that other stuff. This one was like... fun because it was silly. And I think being a made-for-TV movie enhanced that.
Yeah.
You know, like if it was trying to be like serious or like really murdery, but it couldn't. Or like a movie about, what's something where you need to make a movie where you'd have to show boobs, but you had to like cover them.
I don't know.
I feel like you never really need to, but
no,
they do
like,
it anyways.
No,
I feel like you need to always.
I feel like it's necessary. I mean, I guess when you're in the bath.
Yeah, so like this movie where everyone's in the bath, but it's made for TV.
Fair enough.
No, this, I don't know.
Deadly
just
bathtub.
Deadly, yeah.
So we've talked about the crazy woman subgenre before, specifically in our the Mafu Cage episode. And this is basically a combination of the women in peril slash crazy woman subgenre. As women yourselves, I wanted to hear your perspective on this film's portrayal of Laura as a crazy broad. Broad, I say.
I mean, yeah, like, the cops were really mean to her about her whole, like, ghost theory, for sure. Her whole. They're really mean to her about her whole.
Good pregnant pause.
Her whole.
No, they did treat her like she was, like, some kind of dumbass that had no...
Yeah, and, like, when she thought she was dying and they answered the, like, call.
Oh,
and
like,
they were like, oh, it's
send,
her again. She thinks she's
send
being assaulted.
Out. Yeah, no, but they're what? Like, someone was stalking
like,
her and they were like, oh, it's this bitch again.
And
yeah,
honestly,
write her a ticket
for making
prank phone calls.
Yeah, we're going to fine you. Like, that was the first thing they said, too. There wasn't a body and they were like, we're going to fine you immediately.
Which I was kind of like, well, does she have like strike one somewhere? Like what?
I don't. Yeah.
Strike one was that she has a hole in tits.
That's strike one. I mean, Michael was like less bad than like I thought he was going to be, honestly.
Michael was okay.
He wasn't like the worst about it. He seemed to like actually care about her and like wanting, but it was definitely him trying to be like, you're crazy and I'll help you.
They've because only been together I love a year. You. Yeah, because I'm enjoying. Because
I love you, so I'll help you, but you're crazy, so you have to change everything.
This is definitely an interesting time capsule because I feel like it captures a time in film and in reality that women did not have much agency. I mean, I think like 70s, 80s, I mean, well, definitely before that, but like it gets captured in TV a lot. Where it's like, oh, there's a problem. The man has to solve it. He's got all the answers. I'm just going to, like, take my relaxation drugs and you can deal with it. You can go talk to the doctor about my CT scan, which is, like, a very 80s kind of thing, I think. I know you had some other thoughts about 80s shit in this movie. That sounds like a good segue.
Oh, well,
other than the misogyny.
I'm not going to get, like, yeah, misogyny is very 80s. It might also be very 2020s.
What?
But,
no.
Sorry. We're going back.
I would never.
We decided to go back 80s things. I'm not going to like spoil anything, but things that were big in the 80s are Amnesia. Ordering anchovies on a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Happens in this movie.
Yeah, there's a character named Dick Pizza.
Yeah.
In this.
I'd like a pizza, half of it with extra anchovies. Quicksand. I mean, you know, I've heard this talked about, like, you know, in the 80s, Amnesia, anchovies on pizza, quicksand. And then I think spontaneous combustion might actually be like early 90s. But these are like things that as kids in this era, we were always like, ew, anchovies. What? Spontaneous combustion. Oh, my God. Quicksand. I don't know.
For the record, there is no quicksand and no spontaneous combustion in this movie, but someone does order a pizza with anchovies.
And there might be amnesia.
There might be amnesia.
You know, satanic panic. These are all like the things, the themes, you know?
For sure.
It was very like childhood malls. Malls. Malls are a theme. There was
a mall. There was a mall. Yeah. Shopping for shopping for Christmas at the mall gave me like some weird heebie-jeebies in this, where I was just like, oh God, this.
You never had to do that.
No.
Have you ever had to shop for Christmas at the mall?
I've been like at the mall during Christmas time, but no.
No, not on purpose.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's play one of our favorite games that we play a lot. Is this a horror film?
No.
Oh, we got two no's.
Well, actually, okay.
Let me hear your justifications.
Well, now I feel conflicted because there is like a strong paranormal element that is like throughout the film. But like, I could see it more as like
a thriller.
Yeah, like a paranormal thriller movie. As
but what's the
to
difference
horror.
Really
I
what's
don't know
difference?
That's what's so strange is it like really just depends on like what constitutes horror like
is
as
it blood is does I the made for TV-ness take away the horror
I guess
that's a
like,
good question
horror means like I don't know like maybe some type of supernatural element or some like type of element where it's like so heavily focused on like how horrifying it is. You know, like a horror movie when you see one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's
no,
like
and that's
supposed
how I feel
scary.
Too. And I feel like I didn't, well, like, you know, porn when you see it.
Yeah.
But, like,
you know it.
Not me. I've never heard of it.
I didn't feel like it was a horror movie watching it. But, yeah.
I mean, I definitely think there's a case to be made that this is just a thriller murder mystery. But let me focus on a few things. So we have the Ouija board and the potential spirit subplot that carries through the whole film, which I think they don't necessarily focus on that as this is definitely a supernatural subplot, but it's there. And I just think the way the film looks and feels is reminiscent of 80s slashers. We have the swimming pool scene she's like, you know, about to get murdered by the guy in the knife. We have the balcony murder scene at the beginning. There's a chase through the apartment hallway. There's this part near the end that it's kind of like a dark and stormy night. There's this hotel with these old people that run the hotel, and there's a clip of them watching The Tingler, which is a 1959 Vincent Price film. So I feel like it is leaning horror in these funny little ways, but maybe it's so dampened by the made-for-TV mm-hmm. elements that it takes you out of that. But I think there's enough there for me to say yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
I'm not trying to
chase scenes, whatever. There's no boobs.
There's no boobs.
Oh, that's a joke. That's a joke. I'm not like, that's not my like serious argument. My serious argument is there's not actually a lot of suspense. There are a couple parts, like, you know, when she's waiting for the cops and they're not coming, it felt more like a anti-cop.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it also just has elements it's focusing on more so than just like
psychological thriller.
Well, it's also just like, you know, the relationship she has with Michael is like such a crucial element of right. this. Like, there's a lot of like dramatic like a aspects of it where it's like, yeah. mm-hmm. it's not only focused on like the suspenseful elements, there's like a lot of like scenes that just have to do with relationships and things so, related to that.
Yeah, like if it was called My Crazy Fiance or something, it would be different, you know. Yeah. Like, and they could have done that made for TV. They could have made it like,
oh, I'm sure they have.
Well, yeah.
Also, I guess, you know, just thinking of it right now, if you just pulled the Ouija board yes. subplot out of it, I would 100% be like, this is just a thriller. But that little piece, I feel like, pushes it over the edge. Just a smidge.
Yes.
Not all the way, but just like enough where you're like, is this a horror film? I can't decide. But if that wasn't there, I'd be like, no, it's not at all.
And it really added a decent amount, because I was saying, like, there's a part towards the end where, like, they're hanging out with the cops and the cops are, like, reviewing the case. And they're like, they have their chalkboard out and they're talking about the Ouija board. And like somebody is teaching somebody else about how the Ouija board worked to help crack this case or whatever. And you're like, okay, that's supernatural. That's horror. Yeah.
That's true. I see the case.
Do you see the case?
I see the case to be made.
You cracked the case.
I cracked it.
I'm aware.
Okay.
But still, yeah.
Do you guys... Oh, here's just a random note before we get into our overall impressions. The electronic score in this movie was done by a dude named Brad Fidel, who also did the Terminator soundtrack.
Oh, so he's like involved in having somebody put sunglasses on me. I don't know if it's
just
scary.
A coincidence or what, but yeah. I mentioned it just because of the Terminator connection. But he also did the soundtrack for Fright Night.
Okay.
Just Before Dawn, Eyes of Fire, The Serpent and the Rainbow, and a lot of other things. So he's got some horror credentials.
That guy has kind of had a great career. It sounds
Fright Night soundtrack is super good.
I kind of want to look up and see what else he's done, or like check out some of his work, because those are some pretty solid entries. Love Just Before Dawn. Okay, overall impressions. Who wants to go first? What did you like about it? What ain't you like about it?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm just go.
Okay. Well, I really liked it because I love drama, and there was a lot of drama. As I said already, I like romance. There was romance. I also thought like the sort of twists in this movie were interesting, and I enjoyed them. And I just kind of felt like cozy watching it. Like, I had a good time. I like the like style of made for TV movies. It's like comforting to me. I don't really know how to explain it. So I liked a lot of elements of it. I don't think there was anything I strongly disliked that I can say. I guess it wasn't scary. Like, I was not scared at any point. I did have strong emotional reactions, for sure. I kept screaming at my computer being like, no, Laura, no!
Romance.
And so I was having a really great time watching it. I liked it. A lot.
Hell yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, it was super, super fun. Like, all the way through, super fun. Some great outfits, some great lines, some great, like, one-liners. Yeah, that's mostly, like, I just feel like I enjoyed it a lot. Was never, ever scary.
No.
Fuck, something you said made me, like, get a point that I wanted to make, and then my brain went, out.
I don't remember what I said.
It's astral projecting. My brain is. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, if you think of it, you can come back to it.
Yeah. Anyway, all I have to say is. Yeah.
So I have an interesting entry point to my assessment, which is the writing is terrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dialogue terrible.
But that's what makes this movie fun, which is interesting, which is, you know, I feel like it's been a while since I've seen a movie where I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible, but I love it. Like, I'm at this point where, like, when things are objectively.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Put that B in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Objectively bad, I get kind of lost. And I'm like, I don't know, this is bad. But this is like one of those movies where it's like, yeah, this is bad, but I'm like here for it. So if you're able to not only suspend your disbelief, but also kind of throw yourself into the ridiculousness of this movie, I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. Because it gets so preposterous. Some of the twists and turns and just random concepts that they introduce, it's just like, what the fuck even is happening? This makes no sense. But the characters are likable or interesting enough that they kind of carry the film through, no matter how preposterous it is. And it's really like one of those movies where you can just grab your popcorn and get stoned and like there's no need to think too hard, which mm-hmm. I feel like we're in a point in time where it's kind of nice to just not have to think too hard or get too emotionally invested in something. And that's what I liked about this. It was dumb, but in a way that was enjoyable. And there's some really interesting humor, some of it unintentional just because of the bad writing or whatever. But there's some intentional humor in this movie that I think is on purpose, and it's so weird. Like, there's just like a few random things that it's like, okay, this seems like it's supposed to be a joke, but it's a very weird joke. Thinking about like the guy in the basement of the hospital or whatever, who's like so weird. Yeah. And then there's just like, I mentioned the old people that ran a hotel. They're just like sitting there with like the weirdest taxidermied animal.
Oh, it's their like, pet. No pets allowed. And they have that. Yeah. It's yeah. Like a weird, like, yeah.
There's some like really weird comedy in this that kind of pops up. And just on that note, so Kathleen Bella, the lead actor who plays Laura, stated in an interview that compared to some of the other thrillers she starred in, she appreciated that this film doesn't take itself too seriously. Totally. So I think that kind of like puts an exclamation point on like what kind of movie this is. It's not like, oh, this is bad because we failed. It's bad in a way that's supposed to be kind of preposterous. Yeah, I wouldn't even say bad.
No,
but, like,
it's just ridiculous. It's yeah, ridiculous.
It's good fun. It's yeah. like, yeah, I love this. This is so cheesy. This is great.
Okay.
Which, wait, I remembered the thing. I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it, but I'm not going to say it. I remembered it. I'm not going to say it. No. The thing about this movie is all of this, like, we're dancing around. There's some twists. There's some fucking twists. And that is also what makes it really fun.
Yeah.
And maybe we got them ahead of time. But, yeah, that is fun.
Yeah.
Fun. Twists.
And they're, like, soap opera twists.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great, you know?
Yeah, get in there and, like, you know, strap into your velvet chaise lounge or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the drama. I'm here for it. I want bad dialogue. Yeah. I want stupid, romance, weird massage scenes that make no
Ouija
sense.
Ouija board that works.
Hell yeah.
Give me it all.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a bit of business on this one.
Yep.
So, what is our obscurity rating? This is a weird one because it's a made-for-TV movie, so it never really came out anywhere. On IMDb, there's currently only 294 votes.
Wow.
There's only 8 critic reviews. There's nobody that's reviewed it on Rotten Tomatoes. And as I mentioned, it's only available on YouTube right now, which the YouTube link we clicked on had 23,000 views, which I think for YouTube is pretty low.
Yeah.
Because
true.
People are up on YouTube watching the shit out of everything. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, obscurity rating of 8, which I think is tied with a few other ones for the highest. We've never broken 8 yet. But it makes sense, considering that unless you dubbed a copy off of this in the 80s, you can't watch it except for YouTube.
Or you're old, really old.
Or you're really old, yeah.
Or maybe and you're really
old. Or it's just like you have photographic memory from the 80s and you have the whole movie just downloaded to your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, Let's do our voting thing. Vote. Who's going to do what? Where's going to land?
Oh, close your eyes.
Everybody's going to close their eyes. Everybody's going to pee themselves.
I know, yeah.
And a count of three with the poop and the pee. Three, two, one. This is a unexpected.
You didn't think I was going to.
I'm actually glad. Okay, yeah, like, here's I want to speak my piece. Well, first, sorry, Cody.
Okay,
announced.
So what we had here was something I did not expect. We had two thumbs up, one thumbs down.
Dun, dun.
I was a thumbs up.
I'm a thumbs up.
Yeah. And, okay. Now, this
usually the girl, we're usually a voting block.
No, this, yeah,
this is why, this
I'm
is
sorry.
Why everything is happening.
I'm sorry. No, here's the thing. And I honestly felt conflicted because here's what I was trying to think about. I liked this movie a lot and I honestly would recommend it. I was talking to Raina, my friend, on the phone about this. And she was like, this movie sounds interesting and like all that stuff. But I just didn't think it was like a horror
gem. No,
gem.
I know, me either.
So that's
but,
why I didn't. And I was trying yeah. to
but
take the
gem.
Voting seriously. Because it is a gem. It's a very good gem that I enjoyed. But I was just trying to be serious because I feel like my voting in the past has been based off of just if like I enjoyed it versus like if it's been horror or not.
That's fair.
So
I
that's
feel
why
like we
I did that.
Vote as the block. Maybe
that's
not.
Why I was that's why I was trying to make my horror justification just
I
because
know.
I feel like that could have
well,
pushed
worked
it,
on
in.
Me, it worked on me.
It did, and I feel bad because I really like it, but I was just like trying to be serious.
You shouldn't feel bad.
Yeah. No, I don't think you should feel
bad. I think
bad.
Actually
no.
you're right.
I was
just, it's just I like it so it like hurt me to do it. Like I felt pain.
But actually it made Jen's status without you having to like
that's true.
Yourself.
Not 100%.
I hit my mic.
I think that I think if this was 100% gem status,
it'd be wrong.
People would be really mad at us. But if you want to watch a stupid movie,
that's so fun.
That's
yeah,
fun,
and a little supernatural.
And a little supernatural. This is not a bad way to waste an hour and a half.
Great escape from reality.
Yeah.
Good
I mean,
time.
If you you know, if you're all serious and you want to see like CGI backflips and explosions, this isn't your thing.
No.
But if you're looking for a low-key kind of chuckle with a little fun twist
there's
and turn.
There's a twist, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's worth clicking on YouTube and watching it if you don't got nothing better to do.
I agree.
Okay, what do we got going on now? Where are we? It's almost December. We got... December's gonna be weird because Buggy's gonna be out of the country.
I am.
She's going to Peru.
It's true.
We don't know how we're going to work the podcast yet. We thought maybe we'd take a break, but we just took a break for other reasons. So we're thinking, oh, maybe we'll do podcasts with guests, and then Buggy can do like word on the street documentary coverage of people in Peru while she's gone. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something, unless I'm dead.
Oh my fucking God.
Very bad joke, but he can make it. He's allowed to. That's like, he's allowed to make bad jokes. He has the bad joke crown.
Oh, sure. But like, there's a limit.
Yeah.
The limit.
Not for me. I'm a no limit
soldier. No, you're a very limited soldier. Very limited soldier.
No way. Not anymore.
My turn next, guys, to pick.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
She's
Buggy.
Up next. We got to get it out of the way before you leave. So
yeah.
We got to
one more.
Leave.
I do have it picked out.
Ooh, okay.
Do you want to announce it?
I can announce it.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh,
so this was actually recommended to me a long time ago, and I watched it. It's called Body Melt. It's this Australian horror film.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And
we talked
was,
about this a while.
Yeah.
It's a porn, right?
It is not.
Okay.
But it does have some interesting things, but it is overall gross and fun. So I thought it would be a good pick and it fits the qualifications.
All right,
so
all
that
right.
is the movie.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Body Melt.
Okay. So all of you people that want to hear what movie we're going to do next, you got it. Body
Scott.
Melt.
Scott. Body Melt.
Body Melt.
Australia. When did it come out?
I think like, I want to say like, 1980 something.
That
like
sounds right.
1987, yeah. That vibe.
Okay, cool. We got a movie. We're going to watch it. We'll get back to you. And until then, bleed out your assholes, nope. Buddies.
Live your lives. Lock live on. Your lives. Live your lives.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. We'll be right back.